to bless you more than all, more than you alone can do. But your finances, But your finances to be purely placed in God's hands. God's got you. Simply surrender your money and obey his leading. And that's where that's at. So, I mean, I'm just giving you a basic example of where to start with your money. Because if you're at that point where, like, man, I seem like I don't got no money. I'm making all this money, but I'm broke. Well, first, in the natural, see where you're spending your money on. And that's that you're going to realize, okay, in that part aspect, I need to get control of it. And when you start bringing the Lord into helping you deal with all that, you're going to start seeing that you're structuring your finances in such a better manner that that's where all the, now you're going to start getting the blessings. Now you're going to start getting all the overflow on it. And then when you're expressing more on it, when you're expressing more of what he's given you onto others or other places, he sees that. And he brings you into that field of where you are a blessing and you have no needs and no wants. I could tell you it's a wonderful place to be, being on the other side of the coin where you're struggling every day to being on the other side of where I'm not even worrying about it anymore. Why? God's got this. I don't have to worry about that. So now we're going to go to Matthew 6:30. Oh, break time? It's break time. Prayer time.
It's hard to find a stopping place lots of times.
I know, and I get rolling. I don't want to stop. You know, it's all about Jesus.
We do have a few prayer requests this morning. This first one is for, I think it's probably pronounced Nevaeh Fuentes. She asked us to pray for her family as her dad has gone to his final resting place this week. And then Nancy Elwood needs our prayers today. Her horse Rocky passed away yesterday, and she's taken Rocky to so many events, especially for children. She has special little gatherings for kids, and they're free. And she dresses Rocky all up and gets him, you know, ready for the kids to see and lets them ride him. And so it's hard in her house today. So she asked us to pray for her. And then I would ask you to pray for Joe Pyatt, my husband. He's still believing that the cancer is diminishing daily. He needs knee replacement. His knees bother him worse than the cancer ever did. Of course, I know, you know, cancer wants to take your whole body over, yeah. And his knees are just, they're just at his knees, and he has to use his legs to walk.
Yes.
And so he walks like he's, you know, about 109 years old, but he's just worn his knees out. And so I just want you to pray that the Lord will open a door to a way to get his knees fixed, because the cancer doctor didn't want him to do anything till we got the cancer under control.
Right.
Well, we're believing the cancer's under control.
Right.
And so we just want God to make a way for him to get his knees repaired.
Okay, well, we'll do this backwards since Joe's the freshest right now in my mind. And Heavenly Father, we just lift up Joe Pyatt to you, Lord. As you know, Lord, he's gone through a lot, and he's going through a lot. And as Eva said, we are believing that this cancer is deteriorating, going away from him, being removed, and your hands are involved in that, and you're moving forward with him on this removal of this cancer, Father. But his knees are what's bothering him also, Lord. And I don't mean to make it sound this way, but Lord, our bodies, we tend to abuse them, especially men do, and if we don't have our knees functioning and working right, Lord, it's hard to even walk around and move around, let alone doing anything else that we need to do with our knees. So, Lord, we're just asking for your healing powers to be poured upon his knees. And we know as you are working on the removal of this cancer, Father, we know we can, in your word it says we can be renewed in every aspect of our physical body. So we're asking for a renewal of his knees, Father, but the cartilage, have it grow back and get bigger and stronger and filled that it needs to be like it was before, Father, to where he's capable and able to walk around and do what he needs to do. I know this man, Father, and he is a hard-working individual, just as you know. And so, Lord, we just ask your healing power, your healing hands to be brought upon his knees and make correction in this area. And we just pray that for Joe in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Rocky was the name of the horse. Mm-hmm. And Nancy is her name. Mm-hmm. So, Nancy, we're going to pray for your horse, Rocky. It's hard to lose a pet. I understand that, man. And a horse is probably a different view than a pet. Even if it is a pet, like my dogs, they're like my kids. I love them more than my kids, and my kids get mad about that. But, I mean, it's just, that's what it is. That the way that you've designed us, Lord, the way that you've made us, we are very heartfelt and compassionate individuals, Lord. And when you bring a beautiful animal into our lives, Father, it amplifies the beauty of who you are through that animal, Lord. So we just pray for her, Nancy, and her friends and her family, and those that knew Rocky, Father, that just knowing that this animal brought blessings up to many, many people in many, many different directions. So we just ask those that are affected by Rocky that you just put your hand upon them, bring your peace, your shalom on them, Father. And just knowing that, the beauty and the love that this animal has given them and the time that that this animal had with him, Father, just blessed and nourished them even more. And just like I said, Father, it's one of your creations that you've given us. And we've used them so many for eons upon eons for different reasons and whys. But this particular one was used to help bring joy and happiness to children, Father. So we just want to just bring that peace upon them, Lord, and bring that peace upon those that I've learned about Rocky, and then we just pray for Rocky that we just know he's running around out in a grassy field somewhere and just enjoying himself really good. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And then I'm going to have a hard time with you did with the name.
Nevaeh Fuentes, I think.
Fuentes. Mm-hmm. And this was her...
It was her dad that passed away.
Mm-hmm. So...
her mother's still living, but, it's just... leaves a gap in their life, of course.
Of course it does. Well, Heavenly Father, we just lift up her father. Lord, we know that if we were under your grace in life, we don't, in this world, we don't die. That is what the world wants to say that has happened to us or passed away. But those that are believers in you, Lord, we know that we just call that a promotion. Mm-hmm. We know that He is there with you, Lord, and he's just enjoying himself in your presence, Father. And what we need, Father, down here is when someone does pass away, every ounce of who we are was wrapped around that individual, especially if it's a parent, because they were there their whole entire lives. They were there for their children in every form and manner that they needed to have and happened to need from them. And losing that physical touch, Lord, it really brings a hole inside of us, Father. So what I'm praying for, Father, is I'm praying that your peace, your shalom, fill this space up, Father. Just let them know, Father, and I'm sure they do, that their Father is in a more peaceful, more beautiful place. There's no more worry, no more sickness or disease around him, Father. And just that's a better place for him to be. Yes, our hearts are hurt and our hearts are in pain with this loss, but when we turn and look and know that there's a better place that he's at, even though we're going to be missing him, that at least that peace will fall upon us, Father. So I pray this over their entire family and their friends that knew him, Lord, and I ask this in your beloved son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We do want to hear from some of our sponsors now. Powerhouse Tammy Bailey is the pastor of the Refuge Church. It's non-denominational. The address is 18410 Highway 152 at Sayre. So from the traffic light, downtown Sayre, Oklahoma, just go 3 miles west on 152. They have Sunday school at 10 o'clock, Sunday worship at 10:45, evening Bible study at 6, and Wednesday night Bible study at 7. Plus Wednesday night they have a youth group at 7. If you need more information, you can call Tammy at 580-729-0956. As I mentioned earlier in the program, Joshua's Crossing Ministries is our Facebook sponsor today. They're located right here in the Promise Center, 312 North Main in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott has Prophetic Voice Ministries at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. And he has Sunday school at 9:30, church at 11, church again at 6 on Sunday evening. They have a prayer meeting on Tuesday evening at 7, and they have Bible study on Thursday evening at 7. And now let's hear from some of our other sponsors.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Love your ride today at Bardice and Ford of Elk City, Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters. We know that loving your ride means taking care of it. Our service team is here to keep your vehicle running its best, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. With the largest team of certified technicians in Western Oklahoma, let us show your ride some love today. Come experience the Bardice and difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service only at bardiceandford.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
Nope, we're not ready. We're not ready for the outro yet. This is the Hour of Power. Ernie Aragon is our guest today, bringing us a great lesson with a lot of scripture. And I'll put that on our Facebook page in just a little bit. I think it's good when we can go to the Word, as you've done today, to back up what the Lord's laid in your heart.
Yes. And I find that that's probably the best medicine of anything, because I don't want it to sound like this is coming from me, like I'm spewing these things out and saying this is what you need to do. I always, and that's again, it's another the church that we go to. It's another reason why I use the Word of God, because I want the Word of God to be more than anything that comes across than what I'm saying. I'll just take what the Word is saying and try to bring it into more of a perspective of people that can understand what we're talking about. But that's for us to go, for you to go back, read it in the scripture, put your eyes on it. Don't trust me that I'm reading what I'm reading. Go put your eyes on it and make sure that that's what I am reading, because you want to know for yourself through the Word of God. And that Word might even minister something completely different at that moment in your time. I appreciate that you listen and you're paying attention to what I'm saying. But for yourself, this is where you need to go and study it out yourself. I'll just say this too, truthfully, a lot of this stuff I've went online and researched it out myself. I found really good websites that have a lot of good information. I read through them, and what I do is I'll see how they're phrasing it or what they're saying it, but I try to make it into my own version of saying the same thing. Because sometimes, certain way people say things comes kind of across kind of, I don't know, too wordy or too knowledgeably, I don't know, the right word, and some people, just like myself, I'm a simple person. I like things simply brought to me so I can understand them. And I try to bring what I've learned through that process and through learning through the teachings that I've read to bring it to more simple form for, you guys to understand. So we were getting ready to go to Matthew 6:30. All right, and what it says here, and I'm doing this. Oh, I need to go to message. Sorry, because that was where it was a better. And see, for me, come on, clear up. Okay, see, I knew this was going to happen. It's funny because I decided to go with the message because it was going to state exactly what I'm saying, and now my phone is acting goofy.
Shame on that phone.
Yeah, see, and it's like, I don't want to have like a stack of Bibles right here. I mean, it wouldn't hurt, but, you know, just to get through it. It's easier for me to use this app. All right, come on. All right, so I'm just going to, the one that I have here, I'm just going to go ahead and read that one. I don't know if it's the message or, because it's saying it's the message, but I don't know why it's spinning. It says, so if God, make sure I got the right one. So if God has clothed the meadows with hay, which is here for such a short time, and then dried up and burned, won't he provide for you the clothes you need, even though you live with such little faith? And so taking that verse through message, through the message translation, this is dealing with relationships. I'll use my wife as an example, perfect one. Before I came back to the Lord, my wife was really trying to get back to going to church. And I remember the time she would invite me to come, and being really stuck in the world, and where I was at was absolutely a horrible. I thought I was good, but I wasn't. I'll just truly say it. Alcohol and marijuana were my hole fillers. That's all I was doing, is filling a hole up with just drinking and smoking pot. And so it just happened to be this one particular day. There's a longer story that goes with this, and this will be another time I can say it, and I might have already talked about it. But just my wife's persistence on trying to get me to church eventually paid off. Her prayers eventually paid off. Her devotion of wanting to be in church and hearing the message of God was what was driving her to get me to come. And she would invite me anytime she was trying to go to church. Didn't happen. Eventually, everything, this big long story that took place, I got in such a place of fear, best way to say it, that I ended up started going to church. And then it was like that moment, that day that happened. Not really that day, it was the day before, because that's when I ran into my pastor, Pastor Dwight Shepherd. And at that moment, it was like a peace came upon me, and I felt I came to recognize the hole that I was trying to fill was where my Holy Spirit needed to be at. And when I recognized it, and that was the biggest part for me to understand, is when I recognized it, it could have been like a gunshot right through my heart, because I realized that's all this other stuff that I'm trying to do, all this other stuff that I'm out here in the world that I'm trying to fill that spot up, that's what was supposed to be in there. And that was what's been screaming out of me, trying to come out. I was the one that was suppressing it and keeping it from unfolding. It did, but this particular day, it just happened to be the right place, the right time. God led it up there. So, the point we're going through is relationships. Sometimes you just have to surrender it to God. I'm not saying that right. You need to surrender it to God, not sometimes. If you're having the same kind of situation where your spouse, a child, a friend, that you are so in love with the Lord that you want them to have that same experience and share it with you, we're not supposed to go and beat them over the head with the Bible, and we're not supposed to go and poke them and prod them every day, come on, those are good things, and the Holy Spirit will give you the moments to talk with that individual at a point in time to just kind of give them the nudge. And that's what we're supposed to do, is just nudge them into the direction of getting there, because it's inevitably it's going to be their choice, and it's all going to be about their timing, where the Lord needs them to come in right at this moment. And a lot of times people are very they're like this with their ears, they don't want to hear it, and that's where our vocals are no longer working strong enough, that we need to turn and surrender that relationship to God or to Jesus to start manifesting out. And that's where your prayers start coming into play. You start praying for those individuals. Of course, we want them the next day, like, to guess what just happened? I just had a message from the Lord, and I'm coming to church, and I'm doing. We want that. That's what we live for. It's just like a. It's I call it a Jesus high. We get high on that when people get turned on to God. It's an awesome thing, you know. But it unfortunately it doesn't always work that way. Just using as myself as an example, I was that stubborn mule that just didn't want to be moved in that position at that time in that place. Everything has a time and a placing with the Lord. So this is what I said about relationships. Is you need to surrender to God's sovereign. He will, in our relationships, shows we trust him with those we care deeply about. We can't be everyone's savior or hero. Only Jesus can. Mm-hmm. So that's basically telling us that, yes, we need when the opportunity comes, we need to be doing what we need to be doing as disciples of Christ, and that's inviting them not only to just to church, but to Jesus. And church is the greatest place to bring them to, because they're going to walk into an environment people feel that whole environment, everybody was messed up, screwed up in some form or manner. They may not look like it now, it's because now they got Jesus in their life and they're trying to live their life in that manner. But I'll tell you, 99.9% of everyone that is in a church was messed up, screwed up in some form or manner, and it's just the way that they look now is because they got God all over them, and that's the way that they look. Now, given, there are some churches that you'll go to, and there'll be people that have a hypocritical aspect about them. I get it. I totally understand it. But if you have someone that's trying to bring you with them, that is a friend or could be a coworker or whoever it is that's asking you to come, just understand that that's the Holy Spirit that is working through them to bring you to that place. Now, is that church going to be your cup of tea? It may not. God's going to find the place for you. But the point is that if you're feeling that nudge, you're feeling that you need to be somewhere, go. Start somewhere. Just get yourself inside the door and start building that relationship up with Christ. And he'll let you know if this is where you need to be or you need to go. I'll just say for myself, the church that the doorstep I stepped on and I saw Pastor Dwight, that was the church I ended up staying in. And as I learned, Lord has planted me there specifically. And I understand now the reasons why he's done that, because of the teaching that I learned there is so in-depth and so there's so much knowledge that I just soak it up like a sponge. I need that. I need that to help me to retain myself, to understand how I need to move in life. Because my past life with my experiences with religion have not really taught me or showed me the correct ways and manners through the Bible of how to be and how to be a Christian. I prefer to call myself a disciple of Christ, because that's I'm studying how to be more Jesus-like in my life. That's what I'm trying to obtain. But when you feel that, the place that you need to be planted, and it's working for you, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God are all working with you in that one place, that's where you need to be. That is from my experience with churches and with people of church. So don't ever feel like it's a churches get a bad rap, and I get it. There are places that are like that, and this is about you're dealing with people, and you're dealing with people that are still trying to figure themselves out. We all are. I still am with how this walk is supposed to be with Jesus. And sometimes it takes us a lot to learn and understand what it's like to be a disciple. And some of us, it takes us a short amount of time. It just depends on our walk and where we're at. Some people need to be beat over the head with a mallet to get themselves to move one way. And sometimes it just takes a nudge. It all depends on that individual. But that's where God gives us grace and mercy upon everyone that's around us. Always remember, you're not there necessarily for those that are there. You're there to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to build your foundation on that and that alone. So then in any relationship, remember that. You continually keep praying, keep nudging, and eventually somewhere along the line, God's going to line everything up, and boom, it's going to happen. I truly believe that myself. I've seen it manifested in not only my life, through my like family members and friends that I have, but I've seen that happen, and it just all of a sudden it's just boom, you know, that individual's lined up and they want to know and be a part of it and move forward. And then that's just they start their walk with Jesus. That's where you leave it at. You know, it's great to just have some friends that are involved with Christ and that you're moving right along. Oh, did I have more of that? I did. Okay. I didn't realize I had more to go with that. So still on relationship, his death was all about his love for us. That includes those we hold dear to us. We can do our best to love and care for those we love, but trust in the Lord to do the rest. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. I know it doesn't. Sometimes it's not always like that, huh? And so now we're going to Matthew 6:34. Okay. Let's try this again. I'm just, like, it's just so funny. My phone's never done this here before, and all of a sudden it's doing it. You know who that is, right? I'm not going to get to it.
Do you want to read it out of the regular? You want me to read it out of the regular?
If you don't mind, if you go ahead and read it. So it's
Matthew 6:34.
I wanted it to come in the message. That's the reason I know that it's the enemy trying to mess with me, because it's the way that it's stated in there. But you can go ahead and read it. What version is yours?
New King James, I think, maybe. Okay. So it says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." That just reminds me of the song that I used to sing all the time when I sang a lot. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. So anyways, I was trying to get it to you in the message. This is Dylan about your future. And we all tend to do this. We tend to look ahead of, like, where, you know, where we're going to be, how our things are going to be in the future, and what's happening, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with trying to set up, set plans up, but did you get it? Oh, here we go. Thank you, sis. And in the message, it says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes.
Can I read the scripture right before that?
Sure.
But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to you.
Yes.
And, you know, Ernie, when I talk to people that are just worrying about everything, I'm thinking, what is wrong with you?
Yes.
I know they're good Christian people, but the enemy has found that little spot in their life where he can really get to them and cause them to worry.
Yes.
Of course, so many people think I'm just not concerned about stuff because I don't worry.
But see, that's that again. That is, I mean, if you really think about it, when you've read enough through the Gospels to see about Jesus, you know what? He didn't really worry about anything, did he? Well, who are we called to be an example of? We're told to be an example of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. So, what were the things that he worried about? What were the things he didn't worry about? When you start understanding how he worked when he was on the world, that was our example of how to be. And then a lot, and every time he turned around, he was always saying, take it to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm taking it to the Lord. I'm taking it. I'm going to go pray to the Lord. That every time that something came up that he just needed that answer or needed comfort, he took it to the Lord, because he knew that's where his strength was. He knew that that's where he was going to get his knowledge or information to do this next thing. A lot of people don't understand that. I mean, he would, and it's hard for us to sit down and probably pray 15, 20 minutes, where he would go take off for hours and go and pray.
Days,
mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And but the whole thing that was happening when he was doing that is his whole continence was being renewed. Mm-hmm. So he was able to take that and go out there, and that's what he was able to go use to heal people, because he had that such that strong connection. And where's that coming from? Where's that all stemming from? That's from him going out and doing his praying, going talking to God. That's what we all need to do every time. That's where we get our answers from. Are we going to get it right then and there, just like how Jesus did? I'm sure a lot of times he didn't get the answers right away either, but they did come to him. And when they did, they were very powerful and very significant, that we could take those teachings and learn from them. So where was that? We were talking about the future, and trying to understand. There he says, "Thank you." What it means. And so what I said is, one day at a time, Sweet Jesus. Mm-hmm. One day at a time, sweet Jesus.
One day at a time.
Yeah, that's where I got that too. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. You know, it's just that's how we have to live our lives. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have to do that. And so this is what I said. I wrote down here. It says, we can only change one day at a time. When we wake up, thank God for just that. Tomorrow will never be given. But each day is a gift, and we miss it when we allow our minds to dwell on all the unknowns. Trust God for your future. He knows about that more than you. So focus on the day. The scripture that I got with this was, and it's just how I'm ending this here. It says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. And so that's Proverbs 16:9. It says, so being content with the day will prevent our eyes from seeing the distance tomorrow. Because if we're always focusing on tomorrow, you're going to miss a lot of things today. That might even be where there's a saying that says, you know, if you don't stop and smell the roses every once in a while, you're going to miss it. So it's a matter of taking what you have today. You know, this is something I've really come to really understand, and how fragile we truly are. And it's this: when we wake up in the morning, most of us take that for granted. And I've learned now, when I wake up, I got to give thanks to God right at that moment for allowing me to wake up to that day. And that sets my myself for the whole day, because I don't know what the Lord's going to bring in front of me. I don't know what the Lord's going to have, but you know what? He gave me today. So today I got to deal with it. Yes, there may be a tomorrow, and there are things I can plan for, and the Lord will determine my steps in those directions. But he wants us to focus on today, because he's got things for us today to do. And as long as we are letting the Holy Spirit move in us, we'll find those todays being filled with his presence, moving to do what needs to be done. And it may be, you know, simple things. It may be extravagant things. But that's where we need to live our lives. So the message for today is surrender. And so what we have, these were the five things that I said we needed to surrender: control, worry, money, relationships, and your future. There's probably many more. There are many other things that you might be worrying about. There might be other things that you are concerned with your relationship, your future, your money, letting go. I mean, that's the biggest thing is that people have a problem with is letting God be in control of your life. Sounds truly scary, because we've been in control of our lives, especially us that are older, been in control of our lives so much. And then you got to really reflect on it. I mean, being in control of my life, was it really that good? Was I making, mm-hmm. you know, making the best of what I had? And when you finally realize that God has so much more for you in so many different areas of your life, and friends' life and family's life, as long as you are relinquishing control of that and surrendering, that's the key. That is the biggest key of the whole thing, is surrendering yourself to the authority of God and Jesus Christ. When you surrender that, and that's that, you got to get that word stuck in your head, like just embedded in your head, surrendering every day, everything, every aspect of your life to him. You're going to start watching your life unfolding in front of you in such a way that you know it's God, and that he is just moving in your life and making things happen in your life. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to speak to people that already have established and started a relationship with the Lord. And those that are new, I'm hoping that this is an area now that you can grasp and take and utilize it in your life to start moving in those directions and understanding God's got you. He's got you. You just got to let go. You just got to let go. And a perfect example is being childlike. You know, I can remember, it's a while back, but I can remember being a kid, and I can remember that I was raised by my grandparents, so I can remember them making choices and decisions for me that sometimes I didn't agree with or I didn't like, but you know what? They were looking out for the best interest of what I needed to have at that time in that moment. That's what God's trying to do for you. You just need to stop being the kid having a fit that you're not getting your way and allow God to maneuver and work in your life to make things happen that he has already planned out for you. So I'm hoping that you got a great message out of this. I remember just when I was researching this all out, and man, I just like, surrender. Put your hands up. If you really think about it, when that's when you see people holding their hands up in church and in praise and worship, that is what they are doing. They are surrendering to him. Lord, I need you now. I need you more than ever. Here I am. Use me. Do whatever you need to do. I just get me out of the way and bring more of you into me. That's when you see people doing that, that is what's happening. So just remember, folks, surrender to God and to Jesus Christ. So I said, I hope this message gets to you guys. I love you all. I bless you all. I pray for you guys, whoever you are. I just know God knows who you are. And I just thank you for listening to me and giving me the opportunity to do this.
Amen. So are you fully surrendered? Are you fully surrendered? Great lesson today. If you missed any part of it, go back and watch the entire program or go to our website, therockchristianmusic.com. Click on Hour of Power and go to Wednesday, and you can listen again there. It'll be posted in a few minutes over there. From me, Neva, from Monica, from our friend Ernie, have a great day, a blessed day, and we will see you back in here tomorrow.
Let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.